Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Yellow Galactic Seed, and it is the eighth day of the Red Earth Wave Spell, and it is also the Lunar Moon Day 18. I forgot to podcast. I'm in an altered state of extreme activity, and I would say that orients itself to Mayan time nicely, that the Red Earth Wave Spell is an evolution at the front end. I said at the end of this wave spell, each of us will be able to say that something evolved. And that's in process. We're on day 8, but probably when you're listening, it's already day 9. So I'm going to focus more on the quality of the solar tone, planetary spectral of the next couple of days, which will bring this particular wave spell to its fullness, its fruition, and then we'll cascade down the other side of the wave. And just so you know, after the Red Earth wave spell is White Dog, so it's a nice part of the Zolk'in. Blue Monkey, Yellow Seed, Red Earth, White Dog, and then Blue Knight, and then Yellow Warrior. That could be different than fun, nice, but we have a ways to go until we get there. And so enjoy this moment of things sort of cruising along to a destination, and you just have to navigate. It's kind of like when you're using cruise control in a car, or it feels like you're replicating being in some kind of a video game, but just all you're doing is, you're not dealing with acceleration that's being handled. You just have to kind of like keep your steering on track. And that's how I feel about this wave spell right now. And then there's synchronicity involved. I haven't been picking up on that as much. And I do think that you can get synchronicity every day of the Zolk'in, but one of the words for Red Earth is synchronicity. So you might be having those little awakenings, those little ticks of amazement, like, oh, wow, I mean, I was just talking about you and then you showed up, or wait, you know so-and-so as well. And then just another way of experiencing synchronicity is when everything is synchronized, and it is part of Red Earth to feel kind of like the positive energy of a machine, and you know, the efficacy of what an automobile has, the motor. So we're just motoring along, and synchronicity is really helpful, synchronizing for all our moving parts. I mean, yes, that could mean actual physical joints if you want to consider it that way, but just sort of like the moving parts of fate and destiny, and having that feel like a smooth operation right now. It's really lucky, of course, when things kind of are that way instead of discombobulated and fractured, and you know, that there seems to be conflict just in moving across the room or getting an errand done, which is sort of that Mercury retrograde tonality. And I do think technology is still really vulnerable to dysfunction these days, that's the new world order, is that our dependence on technology makes it obvious that we're over-dependent and over-interactive with a kind of machined societal existence. So the fact that that machine is breaking down in some ways is affecting us more because we're more dependent on it. But synchronicity is the thing that's beyond all of the technology. It's bigger than that, or it's outside of it, or it's underneath it. It's the essence of life getting us in a flow. So that's part of the Red Earth cruise that we're on, just cruising speed, cruising altitude. And yeah, I think that's about all that I know about it. Some people really want to travel in the Red Earth time. Like, that's the impulse. I want to go somewhere. I want to be on the go. And, you know, I'm really strongly trying to, as it were, up earth my life and root some other part of the the planet. So that's fresh and new for my Red Earth wave spells. Just like, oh, well, I just want to live on a different patch of a different tectonic plate kind of feel. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And then it's a big deal that we're in the lunar moon's third week. I talked about it a lot last podcast. We're in it. We're in the heart of it. We're on a Wednesday. It'll be Thursday. It ends on Saturday, this third week in the West. It's been amazingly intense in terms of fires in California. Again, you know, it started at the beginning of this moon. You know, we're at like 2,000% fire destruction from last year, and truly apocalyptic, you know, moods taking over as, you know, whole regions are covered in black smoke and ash. Even with fires far afield, the sky, the smoke density is so great that it just really, really feels apocalyptic to have, you know, a nighttime or dusk experience throughout the day. So that seems pretty lunar to me. Lunar moon in a lunar year. It's very interesting because I'm going to use, you know, other people instead of myself, but just watching, some people are just taking off in this lunar tone in this lunar year, particularly my white wizard friends who are lucky enough to have 13 years kind of tracking their whole ambiance. Being couched in the white wizard ambiance, if you're a white wizard, is really quite something. And so they enter the lunar year and they're just on some kind of virility surge, strength and direction. And I'm really pleased. And others of us have versions of that happening in this lunar year, that we're being set free from the abstraction of like, what is going on? What's hard? What's not hard? Like, I can't figure it out. Everything is spinning. It's intense. It's all coming at me at once. I don't know what to do next. And then again, the lunar tone over and over throughout this year will help us find clarity in the distinction of polarizing, meaning the clarity of like, okay, this is working. This is good. Meaning it doesn't stress me out. This is super stressful over here, but I'm getting the clarity that this is a problem that I can solve, or that I can seek support to overcome, or it's a problem that I'm actually really engaged with. I mean, how about the truth that we have to engage more with our struggles in life than what's easy? You know, the struggle demands our attention and our vigor and our focus and our heightened focus, that we have to grow in strength to meet our challenge, our problems. And if something is not challenging or problematic, then, you know, there's no muscular response, whether it's a spiritual muscle or a more physiological one. So there is vigor in this lunar encounter. We're having this lunar moon. We're having a lunar year surrounding it. But right now we're sort of in the deepening, the epicenter of lunar, by having the moon and the year coincide. And again, I'm having more busyness and activity than I've had in all of the span of COVID, and maybe accumulative. Like, I have been on the phone talking business to more people in the last 2 days than maybe the whole rest of it. Maybe. And I don't know if that's a variation that others can feel, like there's an upsurge in difference or an upsurge in an explosive kind of outpouring in your life as well. I think there was something really similar that happened in the front end of the lunar year and also in the cosmic moon that ended our magnetic year, so i.e. July and August, when, I mean, it was June, July, and August, but just this reactivity to George Floyd and going into protest mode, like that was the same kind of, I've been restrained and I'm going to burst out and be free. It's a blue storm year, and so certainly we're going to have many, many instances of pressure breaking and things seeming explosive in some way. And because that's the way storms operate, you know, it's not a rolling rain like a rolling river or stream. It's quiet stillness. The pressurized sky starts to feel foreboding and can give you like a headache in response. And then the release of rain, the tension, the sky releasing its tension creates you know, sometimes the storm element or just this outpouring. It can feel like rage. It can feel like grief. It can feel like sorrow, which I think is a little softer than grief. And we have our own versions of that. And then sometimes the storm is completely exhilarating. It's a rain dance, you know, that's been responded to by the sky. You know, it's completely joyous that it's raining. It's a relief. Sometimes rain is just amazing because the release of pressure is so exhilarating that it's not a release of grief at all. It's a release of exhilaration, and it's a form of celebration. And so that's also a blue storm year. But perhaps if you trust me as a blue storm, or maybe my fixation at least can help inform you about the year, it is surge after stillness and surge after stillness, and you become dependent on it. By the end of the year, it is your rhythm, and you miss it when it's gone because it's very special, and we're super lucky that we have years that are blue storm years every 4 years. It's lucky that we have a yellow seed year, which is way different than what I just described. Yellow seed is slow, determined growth, steady and slow to the eye, but powerful and kind of silent, you know, temperamentally silent, focused. And a red moon year, and we had a red moon 13-year cycle before this white wizard one, it's different. There's a lot of concentration on cleaning things, purification, cleansing, water, rinsing us, absolving us, but I think that is just very different than rain, because it's sort of the idea of water being the focal point of life, and that we can't have solidity, we can't force solidity when there's meant to be flow. So that's a different kind of year. And then, of course, the White Wizard year and the White Wizard surround of 13 years, we've just had that, and I love it too. I love it. I love White Wizard enchantment. I love, you know, my two closest friends are, you know, separated in age by a generation, but they're both white galactic wizards. And, you know, I have another white cosmic wizard friend. I'm just luckily surrounded by white wizard women, and they are amazing beings. And so is the time of the white wizard, when we all get to be sorcerers and medicine women and shamans and focus on healing, and not from a place of weakness, like, oh my God, it's so hard to save everyone, you know, like kind of this horrible forlorn single mother thing that I also have been involved in this lifetime, where you're just like, you can never do it. To be the shaman, to step into the white wizard archetype, is to actually be able to affect healing. So it is tragic and overwhelming how much healing is needed in, you know, humanity on the planet, just broadly, and also in our local environments. What we see the people around us that need healing, and we also see through media people far away from us that we think of benevolently who need healing. And guess what? White Wizard allows us to step into the role of serving that kind of suffering. it's possible and it's focal. Like we're drawn to that kind of purposefulness now. And that's exciting. Again, it's a blue storm year within a larger white wizard 13-year wave spell. We don't have to fixate on white wizard every, reference point for 13 years, but it's a blue storm year in service of a white wizard 13-year wave spell. It's the lunar year of a white wizard 13-year wave spell. So when we are sorcerers and medicine women and shamans collectively, each of us, but that movement towards that modality, the challenge is, we're serving, the lunar year is helping that archetype of healer to be effective by sort of imbuing them with storm energy and storm clarity and storm polarity. Again, stillness followed by surge, stillness by surge. There are buildups between, and degrees of intense compacted pressure and degrees of intense, powerful release. But you can feel, again, it's sort of like stuck and then liberated, stuck, then liberated. And that's very lunar as well. And then in service of redundancy, or that we learn best when things are repeated, I like to circle back every now and then and talk about, I'm never good enough at like pulling up a historical timeline to be like, okay, so in 1968 and this happened, but I can pause the podcast and do that, so I will. I'm going to do that now. Hold on. Well, all right. I just spent 20 minutes reading about the past, and I'm excited. We can remember really generally a lot of the big bullet point themes of 1968-9, which would have been the last blue lunar storm year, pretty much what we call identical to this passage that we're in now. And in the spring of 68, i.e. in the magnetic year then, the white magnetic wizard year 52 years ago, both Martin Luther King and Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated, sort of with a 2-moon gap in between. And so I think that's just really imitative how the magnetic year can have more disruption and we can be more concerned about it than in even the lunar year to follow. And that would be true of all the times we move through the magnetic lunar tones. So, just broad strokes, there was a huge crisis of faith around racial justice to lose Martin Luther King and, prior, obviously, but we kind of got to have a reiteration of that when the protests became resurgent worldwide last spring. And then the other big themes, at least for the view of an American, was Vietnam War and space travel. And I was just thinking, like, you could draw parallels between the advent of space travel and the advent of the internet in terms of kind of mind-blowing, life-changing, perceiving life differently. The first vision of the Earth from space is a lot like, us being able to do everything in our hand, holding a phone, that we used to have to do in person, seeing everyone and seeing what's happening around the world so quickly. And then, of course, there was television, and that was transitional, but just really epic. Globalization is the result, perceptive globalization, where we can find out what's going on in most parts of the world immediately is like has a parallel to seeing what the world looks like from space through astronauts and their travel. So the Vietnam War is that sort of parallel to how we might feel about all kinds of injustices that we experience now in the culture. We're not as preoccupied with overseas wars as Americans as we were even 5-10 years ago, but they're still happening. And on the other hand, there is, the different kind of class war, economic inequality that is more discussed now than it was 52 years ago. And like one other large thematic reminder is that 52 years ago was when Richard Nixon was first elected, And then in 1972, he was reelected, but he didn't serve much of his term because he resigned. But the upsurgence of Richard Nixon is just an interesting and dark augury for where we may be heading in our election season. And I can't remember what Richard Nixon is in terms of the calendar, but I was able to once again pause and check. And it's kind of interesting to me that Richard Nixon was a white solar world bridger, and Joe Biden's a white lunar world bridger. And, you know, I wouldn't say they're that similar. Maybe they are. We could maybe find out how they are. But but that maybe that's good news, right? So we'll just see how that evolves. I'm interested that the election both times, it happened in the red moon wave spell. And in this year, it's going to be on blue spectral storm. So the day the wave breaks in the red moon wave spell, it breaks in a blue storm energy. And so that's a pretty intense day for the most anticipated election of most of our life, most of our lifetimes, that it's going to be on blue spectral storm. It's almost like I can't really speak to that. If you've followed the calendar for a while, you can be speechless with me. Like, wow, really? The dissolving energy of a breaking wave, that's chaotic, and so is a storm. It's the most, I think it's the most powerful blue storm day, because it is it's storm on both sides. It's the stormiest tone and the stormiest tribe. And so we'll have to anticipate that something is coming down the pike. But just in terms of replicating or being interested in the repeating energy, and I am interested because it's a way to stabilize distress, is that there was a lot of upheaval in terms of protesting in the same window 52 years ago. Student protests, violence against protesters was a heavy theme. We went through the Democratic National Convention in 1968, which is infamous for being a place where violence was perpetrated on protesters. And there's just a kind of poetic connectivity to the past. So just maybe now and then I'll have ways to reference that. And thanks for listening, because, you know, once again, I just have to spin. I am in my 52nd birthday, and so I'm thinking about things in this grandiosity or grandeur, to be more kind to myself, of what it is to have complete a cycle. And I'm going to be recording it here because I want you to understand that when you complete your 52-year cycle, it is, if we follow Mayan spirituality, if you're following natural time collectively, I think paying attention to your own 52-year life return and what happens, what you're alive to in that transit, is one of the biggest commitments you can make to yourself. And it's a middle age commitment, meaning I think as we age, we're not as selfish. Maybe we get selfish again at the end of our lives, but there's a window where we're sort of mature adults who are also humbled by the realization that our life is moving forward towards death. You know, we're not just naive and gratuitously youthful. That coincides with this 52-year return, and you can, you know, be pretty self-involved, but learn about yourself in that window, and you can feel connection to spirit really deeply in the window of this reawakening, this rebirth. And I think it's really meaningful for you to sort of specialize in yourself for that year prior, that especially the 260 days prior to your 52nd birthday, and then really pay attention just by being alive to yourself, reinvesting in yourself and self-awareness and self-observation. Just, who am I? What am I attracting in my life? What are the events that are spiraling around me or lifting me up out of my body, as if I would experience the afterlife in some way, because it's a moment of transcendence, of transitioning. you know, it's sort of the end of a life, but we stay here on Earth, so we find our souls getting broader and bigger as if they would take up space in the cosmos. And all of that can be observed by you just paying attention to what occurs. Again, just being awake to yourself. It's an awakening when you come into this age frame in your own time. And you can help others who are in that approach by telling them about themselves and what they might be transitioning through or towards. And yeah, the basic theme is becoming more authentic, fulfilling a destiny of a kind as a planetary human, completing some relationships with our DNA relatives, because I think the first 52 years is really situated in DNA, you know, that we come from a family tree and we step forward with a family fate and interact with family members and identify, you know, as our parents would have identified us when we're little. We're programmed to see ourselves that way, how we respond to our environments of our upbringing. And then we get permission somehow. This is all just theory for me, spiritual theory. We get permission at 52 to have the rest of our life on Earth be, you know, a child of the cosmos instead of a child of our parents. Many of us, or you, will choose to keep thinking of yourself as the child of your parents, but I just mean your attention can be beyond that if that's been a painful strife, that you could say, well, 52 years is a perfect human lifetime, and I've devoted that to my human experience as sort of dictated by the nature and nurture of my birth. And now I'm being reborn and I'm more a child of the stars, and I'm going to act like a little star being here on the planet, because that's really what is described, in my opinion, by these years beyond 52. And that will look less, you know, trip-hoppy when you're living it than I'm describing it. You can just experience these really broad strokes, like having a health crisis or having a relationship crisis or losing someone. So you're having a crisis of faith and a crisis of grief. You can also have, you know, non-negative crises, the crises of emergence, the crisis of, you know, being elevated from a way you've diminished yourself. Like, change happens in order to make you, again, I just think, closer to your own soul, acting from a soulful place. And so what's torn away is to serve you being, you know, more soulful or connected to your sense of spirit inside, you know, the seed spirit or the soul within us, you know, just that you're more connected to yourself and your truth. And so what you suffer as a setback around this rebirth is, again, in service to that freedom. And by the way, like, I'll always notice when people die when they're 52, and I probably don't notice when they're 55 and they die. But dying is not the wrong response to turning 52. And I even pay attention to that in my life. Like, well, I spent like the last 4 years getting everything in order so that my kids wouldn't have to like finish knitting projects or toss them, you know, like, it's a blanket. And you can keep it or give it away, but you don't have to mourn that your mom didn't finish things, because she did. Like, it wasn't really my theme to make sure that my kids that were prepared for my death, but I just sort of realized that was happening organically. Like, I'm just trying to be responsible and complete cycles. That would be a different way of saying it. I'm trying to complete cycles, things that are unfinished becoming finished now. And I do feel I got really lucky to have achieved that. So that is just part of the dialogue here. I hope you can, as I said, anticipate your own. And maybe it's in the distant future. I'm not going to be talking about this every year. So I'm talking about it as I'm going through it. And maybe you can log in with it and hold it for yourself in the eventuality of you turning 52. And like I said, meanwhile, you can provide this sort of insight to others. It's supportive, it's celebratory to get someone all drummed up in excitement about this transit for them. You can also remind yourself and others, if you're beyond the 52-year transit, what happened in that time, and it will authenticate the magic and synchronicity of the Mayan path, because always something is happening, something's going on. Okay, so I didn't talk too much about what's coming up in the next couple of days, but again, we're going to hit Red Solar Serpent, which is a portal day, and it's probably when you're listening, if you're on a Thursday. Friday is White Planetary World Bridger, and we can be watchful of that World Bridger politician in that time if you care. And I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in La Keshe.